I said last time, in the mysterious book of Revelation and biblical symbolism of many-headed beasts, of these angels which seem to be standing with great vast plagues that are going to fall upon the earth to burn up a third of the trees, a third of the grass, to turn the waters to blood until it stinks, to make it bitter. As it said, one angel was called Wormwood. That was his name. Well, that's merely named after a branch of a tree that if it falls into water, apparently some kind of an indigenous branch that would be found in some brush of some sort in the Middle East, and it would make it very, very bitter, and it could even poison the water. Cattle can drink water, I suppose. It can be poisoned. You can drink from a spring somewhere that has poisonous waters, and some people have been warned about that in some areas of the western United States. And it said here in verse 11 of the 8th chapter of Revelation, the name of this third angel, this star, as it were, a star is a symbol of an angel in the Bible, was Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became like wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. I wonder whether or not that is altogether divine fiat, a divine act of God Almighty zapping us here on the earth below because of his wrath over the way we're living our daily lives, or whether it's a combination of what we are doing to ourselves as well as God's intervention if necessary. I cite the unbelievable pollution of surface water not only because of typhoons, hurricanes, and tornadoes, and flooding, which of course always brings the instant problem of the possibility of typhus, of typhoid fever, of mixing animal and human excrement alike in the drinking supplies, which become polluted because of surface water pollution. But what about vast areas of the Midwestern United States where they used to begin calling the Mississippi River the colon of Mid-America, where there are signs along its shores that it's even dangerous to get in or near the water, where if you were to go out and water ski on it, you could probably come up with typhus or some kind of a disease. And when you looked at the fact that it would make one part per hundred of Mississippi River water at the confluence of some of the rivers in the St. Louis area and put mountain brook trout in there, the trout would die. Now that just bombs your mind. But that shows you what is that water like by the time it reaches New Orleans? Those poor people in New Orleans are drinking water that's been used about 10 times by humans and other cities upstream somewhere. Now, I know they claim maybe we can chemically purify it and we can do all these things to it, but the point is that with industrial waste and effluent, and we've been making some progress on it, there's no question about that. There's been very significant progress made in even bringing back some of the fish in the Great Lakes. And I hail that as being a tremendous step in the right direction. Oregon has been out in the forefront of doing a great job on trying to clean up its rivers. Some of them were so absolutely hideously polluted that the salmon weren't even running up those rivers anymore. Now the salmon are starting to come back. That's great. We need to keep on moving in that direction. I told you time and again about the Cuyahoga River up there in the Cleveland area, which had actually caught fire and burnt a bridge and bent the railway tracks over the bridge. Now, when a river catches fire, that means there's so much chemical waste and sludge and oil and pollutant on the surface of it that it was actually a fire hazard. How in the world can a river become a fire hazard? Well, through pollution. Air pollution, water pollution, solid pollution. We in this nation of ours are a nation not of consumers, but of users. We use it a while, and then we throw it away. And what we throw away is probably a plastic bag or a container that is going to lie there undisturbed, non-biodegradable for about the next 3 million years or so. And because we're standing in mountainous piles of trash, not only the wastes from our tables and the wastes from our own living rooms and our automobiles, but the waste from our factories and from our defense industries, especially nuclear wastes and the poison gases and the biochemicals and the like that are used to kill people. So oftentimes, if you hear of sheep and cattle dying somewhere up in the Rockies, the chances are that 20 or 40 or more miles away, there is some military station that allowed some leakage of some poisonous substance that found its way to the subsurface water, and that water in underground rivers and streams and the cracks of the rocks finds itself in the water supply of some town or farm community many, many miles away. We don't seem to realize that in our very fragile ecosphere in which we human beings live and work, we have been fouling our nest and polluting our earth, and that I begin to wonder whether or not some of these symbols in the book of Revelation, in the 8th chapter of the trumpet plagues, are a combination of God's interventions with what man is doing to himself. Now, he said in chapter 8 and verse 43, or I should say verse 13, I beg your pardon, my Bible is so terribly marked up, it's difficult to even see the number here. He said, I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Now, as I've said, the book of Revelation is arranged in groups of seven. There are seven seals, and when that fifth and sixth and seventh seals are opened, you see the fifth is the religious martyrdom phase of what is called the Great Tribulation. The sixth, heavenly signs that interrupt all of the events that would bring about the destruction of all of humankind if God did not stop it. Those heavenly signs are mentioned in Joel 2:31 and Matthew 24 and verse 29. So that you can see, if you simply wanted to diagram these events as to how they're going to happen in correct sequence, there is a period of time called the Great Tribulation, the first through the fifth seals of the book of Revelation. The heavenly signs comes next, according to Joel 2:31 and Matthew 24:29. That is the sixth of those seven seals. Now, the seventh seal is divided into seven trumpet plagues that we have now covered in the eighth chapter of the book of Revelation. And those seven plagues affect the earth with regard to its weather, its food sources, its water supplies, and the like, as we have seen in this eighth chapter of Revelation. Now, in this last verse, the 13th verse of the eighth chapter, it says that the last three of these seven trumpet plagues are called woes. Three times the word woe is used. Now you begin to see what are these so-called woes in chapter 9, verse 1 through about verse 11, is the first woe. Verse 12 says, one woe, one horrible calamity is past, and now behold, there come two more. And you see, beginning in verse 13, the second of those great woes. And then you have to go clear down to the last seven great plagues, and we have a few inset chapters coming, like the 10th, 11th, and 12th. The 10th has to do with a new setting in heaven. The 11th is the prophecy of the two witnesses. The 12th is an inset about the entire world history of the Church of God. The 13th and 14th about the beast and the image of the beast, the number of his name. And then a little later on, we will see in the 16th chapter, the third great woe, or the seven last plagues. So here's what you have. Seven seals, and the seventh seal is divided into seven trumpet plagues, the last three of which are called three woes. And the third woe is divided yet into an additional number of seven plagues enumerated in that 16th chapter of the book of Revelation that we will see a little later on when we get to it. I want you to keep that in mind. There are three groupings of seven. Seven seals, seven trumpet plagues, and seven last plagues, which are the third of these three woes we've just seen introduced in the 13th verse of the 8th chapter of Revelation. In the beginning of the ninth chapter, we'll see what begins to happen, and it has to do with a series of symbols about a mysterious bottomless pit and smoke coming out, and we're beginning to wonder whether or not we're even seeing a symbol of modern mechanized warfare, helicopters, gunships, and the like, and we'll get to that next time.